Man, I wish you guys could hear yourselves. When we started here on Monday evening with we were in the hall for the first time, standing at the back there with Heinrich, the night that Anton spoke. And we just decided the morning, let's start every evening, let's just start it off with worship. Let's just bring our focus to the King of Kings, to the real lover of our souls. And we're sitting at the back there, and this front bit was full. There weren't too many people in the second tier. We sort of looked at each other and thought, maybe we'll just leave the worship. Maybe on Tuesday we'll come back and we'll just kick straight off into the seminar because no one's singing anyway. And walked from the back to the front here just to do the announcement. I was so amazed at the volume. I was so amazed at our hearts. And I know sitting there you can't always hear what's going on. I just wish you could hear yourselves. And I've just got this sneaking suspicion that when God had this auditorium built, ever many years ago, when He created this piece of ground at the creation, He had perfect foreknowledge, and He planned and He designed this auditorium and He had it built. And I just think maybe somewhere in His plan was for His children to lift His name on high. That yes, its purpose obviously is academic and otherwise too, but I just sense a small part is God. He said, I'm going to use this thing for my glory. I'm going to let my children lift high my name in this hall. And it's such a privilege to do it this evening. The 19th of September, we're going to be doing it again. I want to encourage you to come and join us. This evening, we're speaking about relationships a little bit. Who's excited about that? Who's in a relationship already? Married, engaged, going out? Hoping to get married one day? I hear way too many ladies' voices and not enough guys' voices. It's quite interesting. We prayed here in the week. We prayed every morning on the stage here, just top of 6 in the morning or whatever it was for the evenings. And there were always about 4 girls for every guy who came to pray. And I'm going to speak about that a little bit because it's something in our hearts as guys that we're so afraid of commitment and we're so afraid of this relationship thing. But I want to say to you that it's the most blessed thing that God holds before us. At the same time, it's probably the second most important choice and decision you'll ever make in your life is a decision. Who is the person, the one person, I choose to share the rest of my life with? We had a couple in our church, Peter and Callisto, got married this afternoon. And they're standing in front of that altar. You're making quite a powerful declaration. He's saying, for the rest of my time here on earth, you and only you. And as we sit here, some of us are married already. Some of us are very single. Some of us are somewhere in the spectrum in between. And this evening, I'm just wanting to carry on something that we've been speaking about the whole week. I'm not going to read you all of it. But I'm going to speak a little bit about the art of the chase. Who's had a good week? Who's been eyeing someone out this week? You can be honest, as long as you're sitting, not sitting next to her or him. Did you know this decision, as powerful as it is? I've heard it once, I've heard it 100 times, but even in this week, I had someone in my office, last week I think it was, came to my office and she said, you know, she really loves God and she's been growing with God and experiencing God in a powerful way, really growing. And then this guy came along. We all laughed because we've all heard it. She was in my office and she said, because it's 1.5 years later and my relationship with God has gone so stale. My relationship with God has come to the point where I'm not even hearing His voice anymore so much. I'm not growing spiritually at all. And I know it's not because there's anything wrong with a guy, but there's everything wrong with me and the guy. And unfortunately, it's a real challenge, a real reality, a real possibility that, you know, we could go on with those relationships until we come in front of the altar. You know, it could have dire consequences for what God has planned for us. But on the other side, we can come before the altar with a person who God has planned for us. And as Anton shared so powerfully last Sunday, that person could help propel us into our destiny. That person can help propel us and push us to what God has called us to do. They can't make us become, only God can do that. But they can be such an integral part in what God has purposed and God has planned for us. And this evening I'm wanting to encourage us about hope and about life. That yes, there is this challenge and I want to encourage us. Please people, be clever about it. If you've got to make a decision between God and a guy or God and a girl, please just be clever about that decision. It breaks my heart to really say this, that we see more people falling away from the faith, falling away from a relationship with Jesus due to ungodly relationships than anything else. It is the single greatest cause of destruction that the enemy uses. And this evening I'm just wanting to bring a bit of hope and a bit of life. Maybe you've been struggling with relationships. This pulpit's really far to the left, so I'm going to keep coming here from time to time. Maybe you've been struggling with relationships a little bit. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you're very happy. Maybe you've been happily married, like the couple we had in church this morning who have already been happily married 41 years. Praise the Lord for people like that. Great examples. But there's no undo button on this decision. Can't go like Control Z. You know, 6 months down the line, oops, God, that was a mistake. Last year, and I want to encourage you, if you weren't at the seminars last year, please get the CD. Because there's a whole bunch of stuff we shared last year, and obviously some of it dovetailed with what we did this year, but a lot of it was different. And last year I did a session, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing again, but just a couple of assumptions, just speaking about relationships. A couple of things that I assume most of us hold in common, but I understand at the same time the reality is many of us don't. Many people think, wait, I'm not quite so sure whether that's true. I'm not quite so sure whether this is really what God has for me. So let's just pray again before we carry on. Father, we thank you this evening that we can be in this beautiful hall, God. But more than that, God, that we can be in your presence, Lord. Lord, that your presence isn't confined to specific buildings, God. Your presence is wherever two or three are gathered in your name. This evening, God, we're here in your name. And God, I pray for everyone, God, that you'd stir in us, Lord God, an excitement, Lord, for the plans that you think towards us, God. Those good plans to give us a hope and a future, God. Lord, even those of us who are married, God, that you would stir up again, God, the plan that you have for us together with our spouses, Lord God. And Holy Spirit, I pray that your word, God, would reach and cut to every heart this evening. And God, I give my mouth to you and I say, Holy Spirit, use it for your glory, Lord. God, I say, it's not about anything I can do or say, Lord, but it's about you ministering to every heart in Jesus' name. Amen. The first assumption, and then we're going to get practical a little bit. And maybe just throw this in there. Maybe you're going to say, oh, this is very conservative and very old-fashioned. You know, one of the first things God said was, Adam, meet Eve. Maybe not those exact words, but it's an old thing. And I believe that maybe it's conservative, and I'm going to use like a really archaic example, but that's fine. We're going to go hunting, guys. Macy's, you're going to book if yes. And it's like no way to take away from the beauty. It's no way taking away, and I'm going to try and emphasize that from where we are in modern society. But the fact is that God has placed something so beautiful and so instinctive inside of us that, guys, we like exploring. We like discovering. Ladies, if my wife's anything to go by, you like hiding a little bit more. You like covering up. And that's the beauty of what God has put together between a man and a woman. For the man to explore the lady. And I remember we was at a wedding a couple of years ago. Pastor Fred was speaking and the couple getting married was Jacques and Esther, very good friends of mine. And they were sitting there, standing right in the front. And he said, Jacques, you might not realize this right now. You think you're only marrying this woman. But you're not. You're marrying at least 5 or 6 different women. Because tomorrow morning when she wakes up, it's not going to be the woman you've been engaged to for the last while. And then Jacques, just as you think you've got the married Esther figured out, she's going to get pregnant. And then all of a sudden there's a new person for you to discover again. And then the child comes and it's another wife, it's a new person. And then later on comes menopause. And then it's a new person again. And you know how beautiful that is that, guys, we always get to discover. We don't have to go discovering other women. We can just rediscover our own wives. But the first one is God is into relationship. Father, Son, very quickly. If you missed last year's session, get last year's session. If you were there last year, just a recap. Genesis 2. And the Lord God said, it is not good. Spoke about this on Sunday and Monday. It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable, equal to him. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. They shall become one flesh. Proverbs 18 verse 22, I know a verse which a lot of guys like. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. Amen?
Amen?
And obtains favor from the Lord. Who's looking for a good thing? Anybody wanting a good thing? I've got a good thing. Praise the Lord. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. God is into relationships. God is anti-relationship. God isn't against relationship. God isn't looking to squash every relationship. God instigated, He caused it. Second assumption. You're here this evening. Well, unless some guy just dragged you along and didn't know why you were coming. But if you knew it was something to do with relationship week and you've been here in the week, you're here because you want to do it the right way. The godly way. You understand there's a way the world holds before us which just says, sleep with whoever, do whatever with whoever, as long as you're having fun, that's okay. But you're here this evening because you understand there's more to relationships than just that. You're here this evening because you want to do it the right way. The third assumption I've got up there is, if we can have it up there. Whether you're a guy or a girl, married or unmarried, one of the desires you have in your life is to be the best possible husband to your wife or the best possible wife to your husband. I remember a while ago, a good lady friend of mine, just a platonic friendship, we were just chatting about our husbands and our wives in the future. We weren't married at that stage. And she said something about she wants the best husband. And I didn't even know what I was saying. Something just came out of my mouth and I said, that's fine, but I want to be the best husband. Not kind of anything to her. Sorry. Excuse me. I didn't mean kind of in that I was trying to scump her heart. She said she wants the best husband and I said I wanted to be the best husband. Not what I meant, but anyway. What I just meant was, God had placed a desire in my heart, and I believe it in most of our hearts now, that yes, I want the best spouse, but more than me wanting the best spouse, I want to be the best possible spouse I can be. That my wife or my husband will be the best wife or best husband if I am the best spouse to them, if I enable them to be everything that God has created them to be. Scripture says it's more blessed, I think we've got the scripture out there, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Paul writes and he says, or Luke writes rather, but Paul speaking, Jesus speaking, sorry. I've shown you in every way by laboring like this, that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And as we come into marriages, as we come into relationships, that we're not so much in the relationship to receive as we are to give. And maybe for many of us that's an assumption that doesn't quite hold true, but I'm trusting God tonight just to realign that. That we'd understand that the blessing in relationship, yes, there's much getting, but the blessing is in the giving. Anyone here have had a boyfriend or girlfriend? Anyone? Anyone ever been in a relationship? Press the other. About five of you. Did you buy that person something when you loved them? Buy them maybe flowers or chocolates. I don't know what you buy guys, socks and towels. You know, you buy them something. It's more of a joy taking that bunch of flowers or the chocolate, whatever, and giving it than them giving it to you. Has anyone experienced that? This is a good girl sitting in front here. Not sure if she's available, but if she was, you see, the good ones are already taken. Not all of them, just some of them. The rest are sitting somewhere. But there's something so special about giving within a relationship. God demonstrated His love. He says, for God so loved the world that He gave. Not God so loved the world that He sat up in heaven and He waited for us to empty our wallets into the offering bags or whatever. God so loved the world that He gave. That He took first and He says, if your response to me is to love, then That's fine, give back. But I'm not in this for what I can get. I'm in this for what I can give. The fourth one, every relationship asks one question. Every romantic relationship asks one question and only one question. And it's a simple question. Are you or are you not the person I want to spend the rest of my life with? I'm not in a relationship for any other reason except that there's a strong possibility that you might be the one, and I'm in this relationship to find out who are you? What's in your heart? What are your dreams? What are your desires? Because I'm not quite going to figure that out if we're just friends, like I'm friends with my roommate or whatever. We need to talk about stuff on a deeper level. We need to share some stuff emotionally, still guarding our hearts though. But the purpose of this relationship is to ask one question. Do I want to marry you or not? And I want to say to you, some of you here this evening and you know the answer to that question is no. And I want to say to you very straight, but in as much love as I possibly can, end it quickly. It's not going to get easier. It's not going to get less painful to walk away. It's not going to get less complicated. On the contrary. If you already know this is not the person you want to marry, stop wasting their time and your time. Move on. Say, I love you. You're special, but there's someone better for you. Some of you, that's a hard word, but I just sense God wants to say that to someone. And then the fifth one. Everybody sitting here, everybody you'll meet somewhere else, is somebody's spouse. In other words, if you're in a relationship now with somebody who you know is not your husband or your wife, you're going out with somebody else's spouse. You're going out with somebody else's husband, somebody else's wife. And what's important about that is as we enter into a relationship, to honor the person as such and say, I don't know whether you're my husband or your wife, my wife. You may be or you may not be. I want to find out. But in case you're not, I'm going to look after you. Because Scripture says I must do unto others as I'd have them do unto me. And I'm going to treat you like I'd want somebody else to treat my wife. I'm going to treat you like I want somebody else to treat my husband. And yes, we're going to share. And yes, there's going to be some things in our hearts that we're going to give to each other. But I'm not going to give anything that I only want to give to my husband or to my wife. There's some things, as much as I love you and care for you, I'm going to keep them close to my heart. Scripture says, guard your heart with all diligence, for from it spring forth the issues of life. So those are five assumptions. I hope you can agree with most of them. The first one is, God is into relationships. You're here this evening because you want to do it His way. You want to be the best possible husband or wife you can be. Every relationship asks one question, and every person is somebody else's spouse, or somebody's, maybe yours, but maybe somebody else's. So let's talk a little bit about this hunting thing. Before we go hunting, very important, one more principle that we really have to cement before we can carry on, and that is the first one, who are you looking to? Scripture says beautifully, if you can have that next verse up there, houses and riches are inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife, from the Lord. Therefore, what God has joined together. I love that it says it's not man that's joined together. It's not people that came together and made a decision. God has done this thing. God has supernaturally turned two hearts to one another. God has supernaturally brought a man and a woman together in a beautiful way, and He has joined them. And I want to encourage you this evening, if you're in a relationship, if you're looking to be in a relationship, maybe you're married already, always remember this. That this thing that is or potentially will be, is, if it is, it's from God. And let's keep our eyes for, I'm going to move my paper to here. Sorry. Because this walking around isn't working for me. Keep your source, keep your eyes on the right place. If you're looking for a good wife or in similar fashion for a good husband, the place to start is by asking God. The place to start is by seeking God's face. The place to start is by saying, God, You have done this, or You will do this. Lord, my husband and my wife is a gift from You. I can't make it happen. I can gem as much as I want, God. It's not going to change your heart. Girls, you can do whatever you do. Cook as deliciously as possible. It's going to help but it's not going to change his heart. If anything is going to work, it's if God is going to intervene supernaturally and divinely in two hearts. God joins together. A prudent wife is from the Lord. Who should be looking? Second point before we start on the hunt. Because you know there's some very few things as unflattering. Excuse me, ladies, I'm going to say this straight. There are very few things as unflattering as a girl coming onto a guy. Amen, guys? In the worldly sense, it's beautiful and it's great because, you know, it's an easy bit of fun. In a godly sense, it's not what a guy wants. Scripture actually says this as well. Next verse, it says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing, obtains favor from the Lord. Who can find a virtuous wife? I haven't read anywhere in Scripture about she who finds a husband. She who finds a virtuous husband. It's not your job, ladies, to go looking. For some of you, that's a weight off your shoulders. For some of you, that's really hard. And I want to say to you, if that's really hard, you need to say back, God, there's something in my heart here, Lord, that's not trusting you to do it your way. There's something in my heart here, God, that wants to make it happen. But Lord, I'm willing to step back and to say, God, I trust you. That God, you will have somebody find me. I'm not going to go looking for somebody. So I just wanted to put that out there just because you're going to say, but why these two very different roles? Well, because I believe it's completely biblical. So, now the fun starts. We can go hunting. What's the first thing you do when you go hunting? You need to get prepared. Guys, you need to geweer inskiet. You know when you get to the farm, you've got your gun, but you're not quite sure if the gun shoots straight yet. You need to do some target practice. You need to get a box, something that's really not going to make too much of a problem if you do damage to it. Put it some distance away and get your gun and start firing some shots into that and think, can I shoot straight? Does this gun shoot straight? And you know what that refers to in this context is, in a relational sense, practice with people all around you. Start communicating. Start talking. To your guy friends, I know this doesn't happen often, guys, but we need to start doing this sometimes. Sometimes, don't talk about rugby. Sometimes, don't even talk about the girls. Or the test. Trust God to develop the discipline of actually being able to speak about what's on your heart. Because it's a skill you're going to need later on when you start speaking to a lady. In the same way, Andre spoke about it so beautifully. If you missed the session, get the CD about those friendships. Get guys and girls, get people around you guys who you can just chat to. Especially girls, so you can learn to see how they think, how they operate. What goes on in their head? Are they only talking about shoes all the time? Or is there actually something more to them than just their shoes and their makeup? Get to know them a little bit. And then pursue wholeness. So my whole session was on last year. I'm not going to start here again. I'm just going to mention it. And if you haven't done it yet, that's one of the reasons why we have those foundation courses that Alistair was speaking about earlier. It's to trust God to bring us each to a place of wholeness. To bring us to a place where two whole people can come together. See, I spoke about it this morning as well. Because if you're in a place where you're looking for somebody to complete you, you need a relationship, you're right, with Jesus. And I'm not being facetious when I say that. No person is ever going to complete you. They're going to compliment you. They're going to support you. They're going to strengthen you. But if there's a void in your life, no human being can fill that. And if you try and get them to, you're just going to kill them. You're going to suck the life out of them because they don't have the capacity to meet that need. Pursue wholeness. Friends, get into a small group if you're not in a small group. Have people around you who you can just enjoy life with. Learn some social skills. Ladies, what do you need to do? Practice cooking. Yes. It always helps. Pursue wholeness as well. I think it was Ryan. Ryan's a good cook and single. Anyway. Pursue wholeness, ladies. Same as the guys. Be in the herd. How's that for a good plan? You know, from time to time, I like going hunting. From time to time, you find one stray little bokkie up somewhere. But you know, most of the time, it's much easier when there's a whole herd together. But you know what that means for the same for the ladies? If you're in a herd, there are people all around you all the time. They're friends, they're people you can bounce ideas off. And I want to say to you, just enjoy life. Some of you ladies, you're so focused on getting a husband, getting a kumswat, beer on manfang, it's over there in Belangstel. You don't care about getting a degree, you just want a husband. As long as you go home with a husband, you'll be happy. The degree, maybe. And I want to say to you, just relax. Some people, the only reason you come to church is because you're looking for a husband. Some guys, the only reason you come to church is you're looking for a wife, and you're laughing because you know it's true. Just relax. You know, a bookie in the herd, they're just running and playing and enjoying life and having fun. I was speaking to Yanetta about this, and I promised I'd say this. She said, Yemuni, and this is not my words, this is her words, Yemuni, a book in a boom with a verkeker, you see. Some of you ladies, I'll translate it, you mustn't be a buck in the tree with binoculars. Some of you ladies, you're sitting there and you're just looking, when is this hunter going to come now? And you've got the binoculars and you keep just looking on the horizon. Is someone, I'm looking for a hunter, not to run away. Most buck, when they see a hunter, they run away. But when you see that hunter, they're going to rack it straight up north to track. You know what I just said, you know? What she learned is just switch off and just enjoy life. So you can ask most of the guys, they say the most appealing girl is a girl who's just enjoying life. Not a girl who's looking for something to fulfill her. A girl who's just enjoying having a good, fun life with good, solid girlfriends around her because you know she's not going to be needy and pathetic. She's a whole person. And I'm not saying girls are pathetic. Don't misunderstand me. Not at all. So girls, be in the herd. Enjoy life. So guys, you've got your gun. Hy's reg. Girls. None of us should say, man, he's busy from Dubai, you know, and you're busy having a good meal with a herd. Then the second one. Guys, if you want to go hunting, you know if you're looking for a kudu, any hunters around here? Sorry, excuse me, I know it's very brutal and archaic, but I love it. Anyway, if you want to go looking for a kudu, you don't go walking in the flats. You don't go look for the big open plains and think, you know, somewhere here is going to be a kudu just in the middle there. Busy browsing. If you're looking for a kudu, you've got to go to the thickets. You've got to go to the little mountainous areas or whatever. If you're looking for a nice kudu bull, that's where to go. And I know it's the same. If you're looking for somebody with a certain set of character traits, be there with people with that character trait. If you're looking, girls, if you're looking for a guy with strong morals, disciplined, hardworking, but fun and enjoyable guy, you're probably not going to find him hanging out at a nightclub at 4 o'clock in the morning. He's probably not going to be the guy who's busy sitting at the bar, drinking it up with his buddies. Be there with the guy, the type of person you're looking for is. The same ladies. Be there at the right place. Guys, go to the right place. Girls, be in the right place. Scripture says, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good habits. Guys, if you're looking for, and I hate using this word, easy, promiscuous, whatever, then yes, probably Hatfield, the girl with the shortest dress. She's probably the one with the most beer and the most alcohol. She's probably the one you're looking for. But if you're looking for somebody with integrity, and we're going to look at some character traits just now, you're probably not going to find him there. I'm not saying don't go out and go have a good time. I'm saying make sure you're in the right place. I believe the best place to find somebody is in church. I find my wife in church. Praise the Lord. Alistair found his wife in church. Praise the Lord. Arnie found his wife in church. Praise the Lord. From time to time, if you're looking in the right place, you know if you go hunting for a kudu, from time to time you're going to find one that's not in the thickets. But you know most of the time he's going to be in the thickets. From time to time you might find someone really special and you realize, hey, we've got the same worldview, we think the same about things, we talk the same about things, we agree about the basics. But the majority of them you're going to find in a place where like-minded people be in the right place. Guys, look in the right place. Then, the important one, we'll spend some time on this. Find the right target. Guys, the big obvious one. How do I know it's the right one? Well, you see the herd. You've been crawling, walking for 2 hours, 3 hours. Your feet are tired. All of a sudden you hear a noise and you see there's a movement. You get down on your haunches. And slowly, slowly, you start getting closer. You've got your gun ready. Bullets in. You start getting closer and you can eventually you can see the herd. Now you start checking out. You're looking for the one. You need to pick one of these. Now there's a whole herd. Which do I pick? Some people will just pick the first one that comes standing still. And on some farms you need to do that. But you know, most of the time, if you're looking for someone special, and I trust when we're looking for someone in this context, we're looking for someone special. We're willing to take that little bit of extra effort. And it's good to just step back and just survey. Just see what the herd's doing. And guys, what are we looking for? Physical beauty. Obviously that plays an important role, and I'll speak more about that later for you ladies. You guys will know what I'm talking about. But that physical attraction, I don't know if you guys have ever noticed this, but you know two guys won't always agree who's the prettiest girl. Three guys, they'll probably have three different opinions on which is the prettiest. Why? Because there are different things in each of our hearts that we're looking for, but I'll speak about that now, ladies. Proverbs 31 verse 30, it says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. I was at school, like most of you, I hope, and standard 8, 9, somewhere around there, was at grade 10, grade 11, and had a guy who was friend, but probably more of a rival, forever trying to compete in everything we did. Everything was a competition to him. And I never really did much athletics, and he was a big athlete. Most of the other sports we did the same. And he just gone to a big competition, a prestige athletic competition, and he came back and he was disappointed because he'd been beaten. And a revelation hit me there, which has stayed with me for the rest of the life. His name was Ross. And I said, Ross, you know, Ross, I've got bad news for you. For the rest of your life, there's always going to be someone faster. It doesn't matter how fast you are, there's going to be someone faster. You know, you can be Usain Bolt. And one day Usain is going to wake up and there's going to be someone faster than him. That's what scripture says. Beauty is passing. If you look at a woman, yes, there is physical beauty. But that beauty is going to pass. It's not just going to pass in the sense that she's going to grow old. It's going to pass in the sense that you're going to get so used to it that someone else is going to become, in an eye-only sense, more attractive. If that's what you're looking at. The first time someone told him. Reminds me when I was lecturing. I lectured economics. And so it's one of those really bad days in Telkom's history when they just messed up royally again. And we did a lot of work on just, it was just, Telkom's a big mess, just by the way. Christoph is a redemptive agent. Praise the Lord for Christoph there and some other people at Telkom. But we were just looking at some regulatory aspects. And at that time, I can't remember exactly what it was, but South African telephone lines were, I think, 7 times more expensive than the second most expensive in the world at the time. How's that for shocking? Anyway, 7 times more expensive than the second most expensive. Everyone else is paying 1 rand, you pay the most expensive guy in the rest of the world is paying 1 rand, we're paying 7 rand at that stage, something like that. And I was telling this to my first year's economics class and just sharing a bit of this data with him. And just as I'd said it, this one guy gets up and he walks out. And I don't know where he went, but something came over me and I just said, does anyone know if his dad works for Telkom? But anyway, that was the end of that class for about 10 minutes. Physical beauty. Yes, guys, it is important. But if that's going to be your only thing that you're looking at, if that's going to be the only thing that you're focused upon, I can promise you now, one day you're going to wake up and there's going to be someone prettier. One day you're going to wake up and there's going to be someone better. Better looking, better whatever it is. And it's so important that we understand that Scripture says charm is deceitful. We'll speak about that now. And beauty, yes, it's there, but it passes. What should we look at then? Well, that Scripture says, look for somebody who fears the Lord. Last year we spent a lot of time, so I'm not going to speak about exactly how to know it's the right one. I'm just going to give us a couple of tips, get last year's tapes to speak about more about this. Guys, look for somebody who fears the Lord. We spoke about wholeness just now. Look for a lady who is whole. Look for a lady who is not going to be leeching off and sucking life from you, but somebody who has got life and is going to give life to you in that sense. Somebody who is whole. Somebody who has come to a place where they're not needy. Spoke last year about the Aflerki syndrome. Maybe girls have this more than guys, but for some guys it's still applicable. You go around and you've got such a need to be important in somebody's life that the people you're attracted to are the little people walking around with broken wings. You know, like the little bird that can't fly. And you put your arms around them and you pull them close and you want to nurture them back to health. That's great as a friend. That's great to want to do about somebody that you meet in a friendship way. It's not who you want for your husband or your wife. You don't want a wife or a husband with a broken wing that you're forever having to bring closer, try and patch them up again. If you look at them and say, God, that person is so special, and that's why I'm praying that you'll heal that wing, God. God, and if you want to use me somehow to bring healing to that wing, God, but you know, we can't go further until that wing is healed. Until they can fly, until we can run together. You don't want to be in a relationship with somebody who's forever got this Achilles heel. But just as you start getting momentum, this thing flares up again. And, okay, stop everything. There's this issue we need to sort out. Trust God to bring wholeness to them. And then, gentleness. Why gentleness? Well, Proverbs 22 says, a continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whoever restrains her, restrains the wind and grasps oil with his hand. Has anyone ever tried to pick up oil with your hand? Not a bottle of oil. They don't try to catch the wind. I love how the message says, and nagging spouse is like drip, drip, drip of a leaky faucet. You can't turn it off. You can't get away from it. And another fantastic thing is that there are so many women who are not nagging spouses, who are not drips. But guys, when you start going out with a girl, look for this. Janetta's parents, when we just started going out, the very first time they met me, we were at Bri or something with her brother and the parents were there as well. And straight after the bride, they didn't say to her, they said to her, but later only when we got engaged. But that evening, they looked at each other and they said, she's going to marry that man. The first time they met, they saw the two of us together. And you know how they knew? Because Janetta is very strong. She's a very independent woman. She was obviously way past studying. She'd been working for 6 or 7 years by the time we met. Very independent, learned to do everything herself, brilliant at what she does. Got strong opinions, strong thoughts of her own, a strong personality of herself. But every person that she, every guy that she'd been with, when he said something, it was his contention. She would yap at him. She'd Whatever he said, she'd say, no, it can't be like that, it can't be like this. Whatever he said, there'd be some contention from her side towards it. And her parents said, when the first time they were together, apparently I said something that they knew she wouldn't agree with, and she just looked at me and she said, yes. And what I so love about it is her parents immediately recognized inside of her that there's something about me and about her that draws us to one another. Yes, when she's at work, yes, she needs to fight, yes, she needs to be strong, but when she comes home, she doesn't need any of that. Ladies, watch out for that. Be careful not to become a contentious woman. Guys, look for a gentle person. We'll look at that now. Girls, the guy's looking for the right, what should you be? So that when he's scanning this herd, looking at all the bookies, what is he looking for? Well, what does Scripture say? 1 Peter chapter 3. Do not let your adornment, your beauty, that which you are, be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, putting on fine apparel. Please note, it doesn't say there's anything wrong with it. It's saying, don't let it be that. It says, don't let it merely be that. Feel free to dress up and put on makeup and earrings and gold and all those other beautiful things. But rather let it be in the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. And might I add, in the sight of a godly man. He really likes what I'm saying tonight. Ladies, pursue that place of inner beauty. Pursue that place, because you know what's going to really draw a guy to you? A carnal guy is just going to look at your body, obviously, that's all that he matters. But a guy who's seeking the heart of God, you know what he's looking at? God's touched his eyes, God's sanctified his eyes, God's cleansed his eyes. And yes, obviously, there's physical attraction that God has instituted to be there, and it'll be mutual. But he's looking way beyond that. He's saying, who is this person? What is inside this package? This incorruptible heart, and what I love what Scripture calls it, he says, a gentle and a quiet spirit. And some of you are extroverts and loud and have fun and that's great. It's not your spirit. A gentle and a quiet spirit is that place where you allow yourself to be vulnerable. The soul's approach so powerfully a couple of years ago. I don't think any of you were in the church back then. Maybe some of the older people, but she came and she preached about man-woman. Man-woman. Because some ladies, just as part of our culture and the way that life is, as we grow up and we go through school and then eventually we graduate and then we start working, and then you know what the lady has to do if she's single? She has to start making a whole bunch of tough decisions by herself. She has to live life, she has to, in the corporate world or wherever she has to be able to stand against all the men, and that's fine. Be gifted and grow in the gifting that she has. Make financial decisions for herself, make all of these things all by herself. And then you know a man wants to come into her life and he looks at her and he says, there's no space for me. She's not aligned, she's not quiet and a gentle spirit. Ladies, one of the hardest things for you to do, and please I'm not saying do this for every man, but if your heart gets drawn to a man, allow yourself to be a bit vulnerable to him. Obviously, you're not going to start completely vulnerable. Allow the vulnerability to grow, because that's what's going to attract him to you. You can ask any guy in the world. If a girl comes up to him, starts sharing her heart with him, maybe some really tough thing that she's going through and she starts crying. You know what every single guy in the world's reaction is to want to do? He wants to put his arms around her and draw her close. He wants to protect her. That's the way we as guys are wired. Ladies, allow the guy that. Don't be so hard and so strong. One of the ladies sitting here, I'm not going to say her name. She's blonde. She's got a tall boyfriend. She had this thing, she was hot ass. It was so beautiful to me. One day on We're in missions in Zimbabwe, and we just asked at the end, guys, what can we pray for each other for at the end? She says, I don't want to be so hard-ass anymore. I know there's something about me that the devil has come to lie about, and yes, I can be strong. Yes, I can be feisty or whatever it is on the sports field. Yes, I can be competitive. But there's a place where God wants to have him call me back to what we traditionally would call being ladylike. Gentle and quiet and peaceable spirits. Ladies, allow the guy that. Guys, do you agree? Have confidence. You know, one of the most attractive things in a lady isn't her body, it's how she carries herself. You know, I've seen some people who potentially would be like great models, but they're not attractive at all. Because of the way that there's such a lack of confidence. And that's one of the reasons you must pursue wholeness, because it's impossible to be whole if you're walking around with all of the shame. If you've got all the shame from youth and stuff in the past and brokenness, you're not going to walk around confident. You're not going to walk around with self-worth. And you know, a guy isn't looking, every guy isn't looking for a supermodel. You know what we are looking for? We're looking for a girl who values herself enough to take care of herself. That's all we're looking for. We're looking for a girl who makes effort with her appearance, not to be a supermodel, but because she's demonstrating that she cares about who she is and how she looks. And girls, I want to say that to you, because some of you are so worried about you're not going to fit on Cosmo's front page. Throw it away. Burn it. Some of you literally need to, some of you seriously need to take those websites and go delete the bookmarks. Some of you need to take those magazines, take them out from your desk and your bed, and throw them and say, I'm never going to look at them again, because you're creating a false expectancy. I don't have to be like that. I don't want to be like that, because this is how God's made me. And then come and allow God to wash that shame away. And you know what's going to replace it with? A confidence and a self-worth. And that self-worth is going to radiate, and guys are going to look at that, and guys find that far more irresistible than any physical beauty. Because self-worth isn't passing. Confidence isn't passing. But natural beauty, that fades. I love so much looking at old couples. Like 60, 70, 80 year old couples that are still together. And I love how sometimes those guys look at their wives and they still have this thing in their eyes about how beautiful this wife is. And you know, it's because they're not looking at anything in the physical. They see something that God has placed inside of them, and that's what makes you special. God, ladies, self-worth. Trust God. And then, I'm almost done. Ladies, just please, be aware of charm and be aware of flattery. Scripture says charm is deceitful. If a guy starts charming you, every red light should go on. I'm not saying a guy is being nice to you, but if a guy all of a sudden starts just dumping flowers on you, whatever, do you know what your first reaction should be? Fantastic, great, but I'm just taking half a step back. Why? Because I need to guard my heart. Charm is deceitful. And you know the great thing, if you're in a herd, the other eyes and the other ears also looking what's going on. And if you've cultivated these friendships, if you've cultivated this place where I'm just enjoying life and there are girlfriends who I can walk around with and I can chat with and I can ask them and I say, girls, have you met that guy? You know, he bought me flowers. And someone says, yeah, I know, he brings all the girls flowers every week. And some guys are like that. You know what that means immediately? It means maybe he's just a nice guy and he's practicing, he's getting his gun ready. He's learning how to make girls feel good about themselves, but he's being nice about it because he's not picking one girl. He's just doing with all the girls. And guys, that's a great way to start. When we go on missions trips, we always tell the guys, guys, there's nothing wrong with being nice to a girl. Because you know, on missions trips, weird stuff happens because you're like in confined spaces for like 3 weeks. And then your mind just does funny things. So I say to the guys, guys, you're welcome. Bless the girls as much as you want. Just do me a favor. If you make breakfast for that girl today, then make sure you make breakfast for another girl tomorrow. Because you know what that's going to mean? It's going to mean the girls are going to think you're a nice guy. No girl's going to think you're hitting on her. You're not going to be messing with her head. She's just going to think, this is a really cool guy. And that's what you are, because you're missions, and missions guys are cool guys. Amen? You found the right target. Couple questions, because obviously girls, you need to be asking some questions as well. So these are generic. Because now, you're the bookie, and you're standing there behind the tree, and you've seen the hunter, and you quite like the hunter too. So you're not quite running away. And please, ladies, I'll get to that now, before I run away. So I'm running ahead of myself here. Some questions. Does he or she inspire you to draw closer to God? That's the very first question you must ask yourself, guys and girls. If you're like this girl who came to me and she said, my relationship stopped with God the day I entered into a relationship with this guy, I've got one question. Why? Do you really think this guy is better than God? I know it sounds stupid, but that's exactly the decision you're making. He's saying, God, I would rather be with this guy than I would be with you. Does he inspire you or does she inspire you to draw closer to God? In other words, when you've been with her and been with him and you go home after a movie out and you close the door and say, God, she is just so special, God. God, let's talk about her. God, let's talk about what's going on in my heart. God, she's encouraging me to do this foundation stuff. I don't even know quite what it is, but I know it's drawing me closer to you, God. She's encouraging me to grow spiritually, to share, to read, and girls, the same for you. Is he encouraging you to grow in your relationship with God? I praise God I'm married to a woman who does this for me. I can't imagine what it's like in a marriage. And please let me just put a disclaimer here. If you marry someone and you get saved later on, there's grace for that. But don't enter into a marriage with an unbeliever. If you're already married when you're both unbelievers, that's one thing. But please don't be stupid and get into a marriage with an unbeliever. Second one, can you trust him? Can you trust her? Trust is built. There's a difference between faith and trust. Faith is just diving into the unknown. Trust is based on a past series of events. You prove your trust. You earn trust. Scripture says, love your neighbor. It never says anything about trusting anybody. Trust must grow. What it does say is, don't put your trust in princes, but put your trust in God. Trust must grow. The guy must prove himself trustworthy before you give him your heart, ladies. Guys, she must prove herself trustworthy before you start letting her into that special place. And this takes time, and that's great, because most of you are young, you've got lots of time. Can you trust him? Something about trust. Trust takes a lifetime to be built, but trust is broken in a split second. And the reality is that when you get married one day, you don't have the luxury of just having your trust broken from time to time. You need to have that trust built up over time, over and over and over again. One that always freaks everyone out. Do you want your children to be like them? If marriage, a relationship asks one question, then this is a question I need to start asking in the relationship. Do I want my kids to be like them? Because I've got news for you. They're going to be if you marry them. There's going to be a lot of them in your kid. There's going to be some of you in your kid, but there's going to be a lot of your spouse in your kid. Do you want your children to be like them? In other words, if you look away from all the stuff that you really like and you look at the stuff that you don't like, can you live with the stuff you don't like? The stuff that bugs you, is that okay? The difference between being in love and loving. You're in love because. You're in love because she sings so nicely. You're in love because she's so strong and manly. You're in love because of something. But you know, you love someone despite their bad breath. You love them despite the way they talk to you sometimes. You love them despite the way they drive. Despite whatever it may be. And we need to trust God to move away from the place, yes, we need to always stay in love. That we start looking beyond those things, because the reality is, one day when you get married, ladies, your socks are going to lie around. And if you can't live with that, then you need to find some freak guy who picks up his socks by himself. Apparently there were a couple of them. Tying into that, what if he or she doesn't change? You know, a guy marries a girl thinking that she's not going to change, and she does. I said that earlier. She changes a lot. She changes all the time. Praise the Lord for that. A girl often marries a guy thinking or hoping he will change, and he doesn't. Please, ladies, guys, you don't marry potential. I want to say that again, because some of you don't marry potential. Yes, you need to see the potential in the person, but what if that person stays exactly like he is for the rest of his life? If that's not good enough for you, then stay away. What if he doesn't change, or what if she doesn't change? Yes, as marriage partners, you'll be there to inspire one another, to get behind one another, to push one another further. But you know, if you're not happy with them as they are, you're always going to be trying to change them. And you and I cannot change anybody, only God can. What we can do is we can put pressure on them to become someone they're not, because that's who we want. And you know what we're doing then? We're killing them. Because we're causing them to not be who God has made them to be. We're causing them who we want them to be. What if they never change? And then, here's a reality check. Whole sermon by itself, I wish I could preach it now, but I can't. Love is not enough. Love is great and love is necessary, but love by itself is not enough. 1 Corinthians 13. But now remain faith, hope, and love. You need to have faith in the other person. You need to be able to look at them and say, you know, you're fine just as you are, but I've got so much faith in who you are and where you're going to go. I've got hope for our future together. There's faith, there's hope, and there's love. You know, some people, they get married with someone who they love, but they've got no hope for the guy because the guy or the girl is a complete loser. We laugh about it, but we've all seen it. I had a friend when I was a matric. She got married in the December of a matric year to a loser. She was so in love, but she had no hope. She knew the guy was a loser. And then she's got his kid, and 3 years later they were divorced. At, what's that, 21, 22 years old, divorced with a kid. Because there was no hope. There was nothing inside of her that said, man, yes, there's love, and love makes you go all starry-eyed, but beyond the love, the concrete hope. The anchor of our soul, Scripture speaks about hope. Faith, hope, and love. I wish we could spend more time on that, but I'm just going to leave that there. So now you've been hunting, you found the herd, you've been looking through the herd, taking your time, spotted, that's the trophy there. Now you need to line up your shot. Get the gun ready. You've been practicing. You know what lining up your shot means? It means there's bushes all over and the big kudu bull or whatever you're looking for is around the corner. Sort of behind a tree, and I don't have a clear shot. So I need to move slowly. I need patience. Step by step by step, guys. Get wise counsel. Those friends that you had right at the beginning in step one, the small group, the people around you, the people you trust, phone them and say, guys, this girl is making me mad. I can't go to bed at night. I'm just thinking about her. What do you think of her? And if he says, I'm about to ask her on a date, then you move. But if he says anything else, get the people around you, those people that trust you, that know you, get that wise counsel. And just on that, one of the questions we didn't get to at the guy session, then if the girls got to it, one of the questions was, can a guy or a girl decide by themselves if they love one another, or do they need to involve their pastor? Please, you decide. We don't own you. We don't want to own you. We don't want to make decisions for you. We'd love to help and pray and seek God's face with you, it's your choice. If you like the goal, you like the goal. Don't come to me and say, Philip, is this the girl that I want to marry? I don't know. You tell me if this is the girl you want to marry. I can say, whoa, have you seen this about, yeah, I've seen that, it's fine, I've prayed about it. God's given me peace about that. Have you seen this? Oh, no, I've never seen that. Whoa, Philip, now that you mention it, maybe not. Whatever it may be. But please, make your own decision, just answering the question for whoever asked the question. Guys, get the counsel. Please don't try and be Rambo. Get your friends and get your friends to ask you the previous list of questions. That's maybe a good place to start. Because you know, sometimes we're so in love, we're story-eyed, we only see the nice things and we miss all the obvious big things. These blind spots. And then we can get a friend and say, let me just take a big spotlight and just zoom in on that because I need you to see this. Sometimes we just need friends who can ask us those difficult questions. Not to be difficult, but just to encourage and pray and support with us and walk that road with you. Girls, what are you doing? Well, the first thing you need to do is you need to trust the guy. You need to make a decision to say, I'm not going to rush him. I'm not going to push him. He's taking his time because he wants to make the right decision. He's obviously interested. We're having so much fun together. There's obviously something from his side. Why doesn't he just ask me out? You know why he doesn't just ask you out? Because he's seeking God about you. Why hasn't he asked you out? Because he doesn't want to mess with your heart. Why hasn't he asked you out? Because he values you and he's not going to play around with the daughter of God. And he's got his friends talking and praying with him and he's waiting for God to say, yes, okay, now you go. And you need to trust him in that. You need to trust God that God's got the situation in control. And pray with your lady friends about it. But don't put pressure on him. I've got that here. Stay within range. If you see a guy on that point, maybe you don't like him, get out of range. Maybe you've asked some questions and this guy's been kind of moving in for the kill and you're like, no, everything about you is just so wrong. All those questions, not one of them is a yes. And if my friend, everyone's just saying red light, then you run. You jump the fence. You get out of there. And I'm being serious. Don't keep him at range. Keep thinking it's okay. Give him some hope. If you're saying, no, there's nothing. Move away. Go join another herd if you have to. Whatever. Be responsible with his heart. Don't make him think there's something when there's not something from your side. But if there is something from your side, stay within range. You know, if you keep running, and you keep running, that's what I'm going to say just now when I stop myself. Ladies, please don't play hard to get. I'm being serious. There's a place where you need to value yourself, that you're not just going to give yourself to every nice guy, the first guy who buys you a bunch of flowers. Please, that makes sense. So much so, maybe I can share for a little bit from my relationship with Yanetta. You know, one of the things I learned because we got together pretty quickly and there wasn't really pursuit in that sense. Our hearts just knit together really quickly. One day she was sitting there and she was like all upset or whatever. You know how ladies get, guys. And she looked at me and she said, Philip, if I leave you, will you come after me? I didn't know why that question was in her heart. Because we hadn't settled that while I was still trying to get her. We hadn't settled that in this hunting phase, if I can call it that. We hadn't settled this in this place where I had to make effort to get to her. So ladies, there's a place where you need to know in your heart, this guy wants me. But just running and running and running, do you know what? A guy doesn't want a contentious wife. He doesn't want a woman who he has to fight with all the time. Ladies, you can phone him from time to time too. Not all the time, from time to time. Just completely off the topic. Guys, girls, late night SMSs are great. Normal SMSs. I mean, seriously. It's amazing, of course. It's a cool toy. It's nice having an SMS and Facebook and all of that. But you know, when you're lying in your bed at 12 o'clock at night and you just had a great evening and you're thinking about him or you're thinking about her, don't say what you're thinking about him or thinking about her to him or to her. It's not fair on the other person. And you're exposing a part of your heart that you shouldn't be exposing. If you wouldn't say it to him face to face or to her face to face, don't say it. Electronic communication makes it so easy, but you're sharing a piece of you that he can't take back. If you weren't willing to say it to his face, don't say it. And the SMS makes it, oh, let me just give him a nice romantic SMS before I get to bed. Resist the temptation. Rather just say, thanks for a great night, I enjoyed it. Sleep well. And leave it there. And I'm not even going to get into the mixed relationship stuff. That's just a mess. If you're involved in that, I'm being serious. If you're involved in something like that, you need somebody to pray with you tonight. And some of you are laughing because you don't know what I'm speaking about. But if you're in a mixed relationship, an electronic thing where you've got this romantic thing going on with a guy you've never met in your life before, stop that nonsense, please. I say it with all the love in my heart. Stop it. You are only going to get hurt. And then ladies, while he's lining up the shots, don't get restless. You know, if I'm busy hunting in the bush there, and I got my target, and I've stalked it, and you know the animal pretty well, and you know the species, and you know the movement that they've now picked up, there's something wrong here. And you start hearing the grunts and you start hearing the noises. Do you know what I start doing? I start panicking. Not panic, but I realize if I don't move quick now, there's something wrong. And then I start taking unnecessary risks. And I maybe take a shot I wouldn't normally have taken. I maybe try something that's maybe not quite the way I wanted to do it. Girls, if you start getting restless around the guy and he starts seeing that maybe you want to start running, but you don't really want to run, you start getting pushing him a little bit, you're going to get him to do something that's not coming from his heart. Maybe he's got this extravagant plan to ask you out, but kind of stuff needs to happen beforehand. And now you're going to ask you out on this boring thing over a pizza because you're rushing him. And you had this great plan, this whole series of events. You were going to come have someone pick you up in a helicopter and take you up to a mountain with a guy like that. He organized, she was in a residence here, and he organized with a friend in the residence. She was going to leave early from a house meeting, and he, all these like riddles all across the city. And then eventually kind of, she followed these riddles, and he was standing at night up at the top of the union buildings in a suit with a rose. How's that for effort? Give him time to get his plan together. To be comfortable in what he's doing. And then once you've got all of this, guys, pull the trigger. But just one caution before you pull the trigger. I had a friend, great musician, professional musician still, stayed with him for 2 years in Stellenbosch. I don't think there was a week in his life that he didn't come home. We were almost finished. And he said, man, I have just met the most incredible girl. Typical artist, way up there, emotional. He met these, every time it was like the most surreal conversation ever. He'd meet these amazing people. And you know that for 2 or 3 weeks, he'd do this hunting, pursuing thing. And then, just as she was about, kind of, yes, this is a great guy, he'd like be, nah, I'm over her. Next one. And one day I just said to him, call him John. Maybe you must decide whether you want the prize before you go for the hunt. Guys, before you pull the trigger, make sure you want the prize. Respect the ladies' hearts. Don't become a kazi. Once you've gone through everything, and please, this isn't a formula, this isn't a ritual, this is just some tips to help you. Please go do it in your own way. Some guy asked me the other day, how do I ask a lady to marry me? I said, you say, do you want to marry me? How you want to do it? Where you want to do it? That's up to you. You make it special between the two of you. If you do it the way that I asked Anetta, it'll be like, what is this guy doing? But to Janetta, it was special. But guys, before you, just one last check. Just ask, is this really what I want? If there's a check in your spirit, not like a, ooh, I don't really know if I can be the husband that she deserves type of thing. There's this thing, I don't really actually know if I want this. Just hold back for her sake. Don't do it. Don't be rushed just because she needs it. I was chatting to Mezen. Many of you remember Mezen. Just while I was preparing, she was on Facebook. I had a quick chat to her on Facebook. I said what I was speaking about, and then she said this really deep thing. I'm going to try and remember it because I didn't write it down. But she said something about the art of the chase is in knowing the value of the treasure. That's deep. I said to her as well. Guys, once you know the treasure, you give it your all. But only once you know the value of that which is in your hands. So let's look after one another's hearts. Guys, rather take too long than to be too hasty. Make sure. Ladies, give the guys the room. But I want to encourage you, the first thing, God is into relationships. God has got such an incredible plan with every one of our relationships. He wants them to prosper. He wants them to be a reflection of His glory, which is the purpose of marriage, is to show the world how much God loves His church. Because it's just so supernatural for a man to lay down his life for the woman he loves. It just goes against everything that the world holds before us. And the Bible says, if you get that right, you're showing the world my heart. And because God's got such a plan for it, the enemy wants to come and steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus wants us to have life. And life is about relationships and fun. Not relationships for the sake of just having another relationship. But a relationship because that person, I don't want to live without any longer. Can we stand this evening? Have you been encouraged? Ellis Bystall, till I'm slop. Girls, did I say something right to the guys? Yes. Guys, did I say something right to the girls? Yes. Fantastic. I'm not saying, please, if God's saying this to you, that's fine, but I'm not saying God and ask the girl out. Last year, at one of the sessions, the session kind of that I just carried on with a little bit here, I said, every coffee date isn't a marriage proposal. And afterwards, one of the guys went to the girl and said, do you want to go for coffee? And she thought he was joking, and she laughed at him. And he was like, no, really, I just want to go for coffee. And she was like, no, but I don't like you. And then she remembered, okay, it's not a marriage proposal. Let me just go out for coffee with a guy. And then she ended up liking him, and now they're a couple. But I'm not saying go out and just ask every girl out. I'm saying exactly the opposite. I'm saying God's got someone so special for you. Have friends, have people around you you can care for, but take your time, because in a sense, you've only got one bullet. Don't waste it. There's no undo, there's no wachats. But in that, if you have made a mess up, there's grace. God wants to heal, God wants to restore, God wants to make whole again, if we'll just let Him. But then let's come back with an understanding and a reverence for His purposes for our marriages. Father, I want to thank You for every one of these precious people, God. God, I thank You this evening that You've got a plan for them, God. And God, that every guy who's thinking about a girl and every girl who's thinking about a guy, whether someone in specific or just the thought of a person, Lord, God, that You take that thought in Your hands and You hold it, Lord. You cherish it, God. You work with it, Lord. And You reveal Your plan to them, God. God, thank You that the chase doesn't finish when we get married, God. It just starts. Because we forever get to discover and rediscover the person You've given us, Lord. To build up and to shape. God, I thank You for this week, God, that we could just once again come and just lay a foundation of Your purpose, Lord. With healthy relationships, God. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe you're here this evening, you're saying, Philip, it's great having a relationship, but all these other people, but if I'm honest, I don't even know if I have a relationship with Jesus. I've heard much about Him. Maybe I've been to church often, but I don't experience Him as the lover of my soul. Just now when we were worshiping earlier, I just felt Him speaking to me, and I want to respond to what He's doing in my life. If you're here and you've never entered into a relationship with Jesus, I want to say everything else is futile if you haven't come to Him. And if that's you this evening, we'd love to pray with you. It'll be my incredible privilege. I'm going to ask wherever you're standing, if you could just quickly slip up your hand and say, Philip, that's me. I want to make right with Jesus tonight. I've got a hope for a future, but I know that I first need to meet Jesus. It doesn't matter how old or how young you are. Wherever you are, you can just put your hands up and say, that's me. Thank you for those hands. Some of you on the inside right now is this battle going on. It's like your heart is beating so fast. And it's like there's this fight. It's exactly what it is. It's the lover of your soul fighting for your heart against your enemy. And the enemy is saying all these reasons why you can't and why you shouldn't and what's holding you back. And all you know is Jesus is saying, with arms wide open, just come. Just as you are. Don't have to change anything. You don't have to be different. I love you just as you are. God just wants to put His arms of love around you. Wash away the pain and that shame. I'm going to ask one more time. If you've raised your hands, you don't have to do it again. But I'm going to count to three. And on the count of three, if you want to come to Jesus tonight, if you want to enter into a relationship with Him, on the count of three, just raise your hand. One, He's so excited about your future. Two, you have no idea how much He loves you. Three, just raise your hand. Thank you. The hands going up all over the place. And I'm going to ask those of you, if you've raised your hand, just step out from the aisle, wherever you are. Just come and stand right in the front here with me. Please just come down here. I want to pray with you just quickly. Anyone else? I'm going to pray for all of you, just with you. Just a simple prayer. Powerful, but a simple prayer. Surrendering our lives to Jesus. Can we do that? And as we do that, if we could just have some facilitators come and join us in front. I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes. I'm going to pray a very simple prayer. But I'm going to ask you that you pray with me as we give our lives to Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you. Because tonight, I know I can never be the same. I've been trying hard by myself. But tonight, Jesus, I want to do it your way. I don't quite understand what it is, but I know it doesn't matter because it's your way. Jesus, you are the Son of God who died in my place. I believe that. Thank you that you wash my sin away. And Jesus, take my hand. I want to walk with you in the way you have prepared for me. Thank you for a hope. Thank you for a future. Thank you for a spouse. Thank you for good things which you have prepared for me. Thank you, Jesus.